This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Focus podcast. I'm your host, Jee Sampath. Ever since the English cricket team arrived in India, everyone has been talking about bat ball. This is a unique style of play that has paid rich dividends for the English team until their India tour. England is trailing the five-match test series 1-3, and there is a lot of debate right now around whether bat ball has been overhyped or whether England failed to adapt it to Indian conditions. So what are the elements of bat ball? How did it come about? And has India finally exposed its limitations? We chat about cricket and bat ball in this episode of In Focus, and our guest today is N. Sudarshan from the Hindu Sports Bureau. Sudarshan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sampath. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sudarshan, for the layperson, bat ball, the term generally signifies aggressive batting. Is it just swinging at everything for a high strike rate, like in a T20 match? Or is there also some method to the madness, as it were?
It signifies a style of play under the current English coach, test team coach Brendan McCullum, who was a former New Zealand captain and whose nickname was Baz. It's mostly positive cricket, like you mentioned. And McCullum first patented it as the New Zealand captain when he took over, I think, in late 2012. He took over at a very bad time for New Zealand cricket. There was the unsavory sacking of Ross Taylor and stuff. So he took over at a very bad time. And he thought New Zealand should be playing a very positive brand of cricket. And in his first series as captain, I think New Zealand were even all out for 45. And that was rock bottom. At that point, he thought they had to rediscover their love for the game. And he even said it's the best chance of success. Some people would say it's a gamble, but I think it's more authentic for us to play like that than to try and hang in there. So this was his approach as New Zealand captain. And he, as a player, was always aggressive. He's, after all, the guy who scored the first ever IPL century in the first ever match in Chinnaswamy Stadium in Bangalore, the 158 that he scored in 2008. And Kiwis played that way. And they also reached the final of the World Cup 2015, ODI World Cup, playing that way. And he has basically got that approach to England. Now, even England, before McCullum took over, were in a similar state. Like, they had, I think, one out of the 17 tests under Root. They had been soundly beaten in the Ashes. So, in a sense, they also had to rediscover their love for test cricket. So, this is what McCullum has been able to do, and this is what bat ball is, actually. And Mike Brearley, I think, in an interview to Guardian, even went on to say in his putting on his psychoanalyst hat that both Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum having overcome depression underpins the freedom and the positivity with which they want to play their cricket. But to your question of whether it's all-out aggression, there have been some examples which may suggest that it is not so. In 2014, when India went there, New Zealand actually conceded a 246 run first innings lead. And McCullum, as captain, scored a triple century in the second innings. And he played more than 500 balls. The strike rate was somewhere around 50. So that's not exactly bat ball as you would think of it today. And recently, Lawrence Booth, who has written a book on bat ball along with another journalist, Nick Holt, was very roundly criticized for saying that Root played an innings in Ranchi, which was a typical test match knock, as also a bat ball innings. Now, many were stumped because Root scored at a rate that was slower than even his usual rate, even pre the bat ball era. But it was interesting what Root said in Ranchi after the match. And he said the Ranchi pitch was not for reverse scoops. Reverse scoop was much talked about because Root got out to that shot in Rajkot when England needed him to bat more. So he basically said Ranchi was not the pitch for reverse scoops. And at no point did he say that the choice of the reverse scoop in the previous test was wrong. He just felt the execution was wrong. So England and McCullum both seem to believe that though overwhelmingly they do want to play positive cricket, there is also room in their approach to be more prudent, drop the anchor and play out sessions, play out overs so that they can get back into an advantageous position. So I would say it is 80% aggressive cricket and 20% they can also dial down and play according to how test cricket is usually played.
Right. So generally speaking, when we talk of bat ball cricket, people only or primarily think of the style of batting, you know, ultra aggressive, the reverse course you mentioned. But is it mainly about batting, or are there other aspects of the game, such as captaincy, fielding, the way you set the field, for example, you know, which also is connected to this philosophy of a positive cricket and you know, a liberated approach to the field and so on?
Yeah, it does reflect in his fielding approach to how he sets up the fields, because there have been occasions when he has had four catching men on the leg side and trying to get the batsman out. So far, I have not seen much evidence of him bowling negative lines to cut down the run rate. So that's a positive. And this series, there have been a couple of occasions when some inspired captaincy from Stokes has resulted in wickets. For example, in the first innings in Ranchi, the way Stokes got Sarfraz Khan out. So he just opened up the cover area and made Sarfraz try and sneak a single there, and he was caught at slip. And even Dhruv Jurail, who was the man of the match, who scored a superb 90, he was actually dropped on 59 by Ollie Robinson at short mid-wicket, just two balls after he was moved there. I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Fielding changes are always punts you do with the hope that they work. But when they work, they come off they are good evidence of how smart the captaincy is. And Stoke has been pretty good with his fielding changes. And we have seen that in this series. So I don't think it's just about batting. Batting is probably where it finds its most expression in. But there are these minor things that we can spot in how he handles his bowlers. For example, Bashir and Hartley bowled for long spells, and he trusted those two young spinners to get him wickets. So these are the things we can see his whole philosophy in a more subtle manner.
Right. You know, I was reading about bat ball a little bit, you know, before we came to this podcast, and I one of the things which caught my attention for this was that, I mean, you spoke about, you know, batting and playing freely, and how both these proponents, they came back from depression, and that's probably one reason why they were able to play with so much freedom. They understood what it meant, you know. And one of the ways in which they talk about baseball is that I think they talk about expressing yourself in your batting. You know, cricket is a team game. You know, it's not some kind of individualistic sport like tennis might be, you know, or any of the racket sports. So in a team game, you talk about expressing yourself when you're playing to get your team in a good position. How does it work? I mean, isn't it sometimes counterintuitive? Because sometimes you have to curb yourself and drop anchor. You know, Sehwag cannot be expressing himself all the time, right? Sometimes you have to control your natural urges. And similarly for Dravid, you know, he cannot be expressing himself as a ball. Sometimes he has to be a Sehwag. So how does this expressing oneself thing fit into a team game like Test cricket?
I would feel it cuts both ways. Like for people who are traditionally slow scorers, like I think Zach Crawley was, he scores pretty fast now. And for players who are traditionally fast scorers, like Root was pretty fast. And there is a school of thought that he need not have changed anything. Even if England wants to play or hit runs at a faster rate, he need not have changed. But even he seems to have fully bought into this philosophy. Like, he tries these reverse scoops and reverse sweeps and daring cross-batted shots against fast bowlers, which we never saw him do. So, I feel it is not just about fast scoring. And like you said, in a team game, I think it's reflected in how each individual buys into that style and changes his game according to what the captain and the coach want.
Right. And how has baseball worked out for England since McCullum brought it into their team philosophy and they bought into it? How has it been? How successful have they been with this approach?
I think pretty good. Coming into the India series, they had won 13 of their 18 matches and they hadn't lost a single series. I think out of the five or six series they have played, they haven't lost a single series. They drew the Ashes spectacularly. they went and beat Pakistan in Pakistan. So even when they won the first test in Hyderabad, it did seem like a vindication of their methods. So right now, as it stands, going into the Dharamshala test, they have won 14 out of 22 tests, which is not a bad record, I would say.
Right. They won 14 out of 22 tests and they haven't lost a series until India. So why exactly did a baseball run into so many problems in India? Is it because of the conditions? Because of the subcontinental conditions, then how do we explain Pakistan, their success in Pakistan? Or is it because of the limitations of baseball itself? Or is it because of execution? Or is it something that India has done to, you know, counter baseball, which no other cricketing team has been able to do? What exactly explains their loss in India?
I don't think it has failed per se, because England has been more competitive than many teams that have visited India in recent times. And I would actually put it down to England's inadequate bowling resources to actually take 20 wickets consistently across a 5-test series. Yes, they have done it with a very young spin attack. They have managed it on occasion. But I still feel that Hartley, Shoaib Bashir, Rehan Ahmed, promising spinners they are, young promising spinners, they are still no patch on the Indian bowling. Now, I would also think that it's because of the pitches that we have played this test series under. They have not been these rank turners that we have seen in recent times. I feel that is because of two things. Now, if you have an extremely bowling-friendly pitch, it sort of narrows the gap between the two sides. And one streaky innings from either side can prove match-defining or match-winning. Now, the same set of English spinners might have been even better on real turners, and that has not happened. So, with moderately sprint-friendly pitches, the traditional Indian pitches, India has sort of ensured that the English spinners have effect only to a limited extent. On the other hand, India has trusted its bowler skills more than the pitch. Now, this set of Indian bowlers are genuinely great. Like any series that you can win without Mohammad Shami and by resting Mohammad Siraj and Bumrah for live matches, not even dead rubbers, and you have three world-class spinners in Kuldeep, Ashwin and Jadeja, and the fourth one is sitting on the bench. So this Indian bowling lineup is genuinely great and they don't necessarily need friendly pitches to bowl. And here India has trusted its bowler skills more than the pitch and they have done it. Like Bumrah has bowled outstandingly well, Kuldeep has bowled well, Ashwin literally started the downfall of England in Ranchi. And the pitches may also have been pretty much even because India's batting lineup is also pretty inexperienced this series. There is not no Rahul. Kohli has been missing throughout the series and we have missed Rishabh Pant. And a lot of people don't seem to be talking about Rishabh Pant because Rishabh Pant on extremely sprint-friendly pitches has played match-defining knocks for India in recent times. So him not being there and Shreyas Iyer, one of the better players of spin, blowing hot and cold, I think Indian lineup was also pretty inexperienced. So I would say India has overall played better, but the pitches have also played their role.
And how would you characterize England's batting approach in this series? Was it in line with the baseball philosophy or did it sort of move away from that because of the conditions and then still flopped, as in failed to get them through?
More or less, they have stuck to their attacking approach, except for the root innings that sort of stood out and Ben Duckett's 100, Ollie Pope's, and even the rate at which Zach Crawley has scored. I think they have stayed true to their attacking instincts, except for that one root innings, which England and Root both say that was the need of the hour because the pitches were not conducive for the kind of attacking cricket that they would want to play.
Right. And do you think India would be able to beat England with this kind of an approach, this baseball approach, in English conditions as well? Or is it more to do with the slow spin conditions that India has been enjoying in India?
I feel it will be a superb contest. It will be more even than 3-1. But I won't put it beyond India to win. Because in England, England will have the bowling to get India out twice. But at the same time, the Indian bowling is also as good to get England out twice. I feel it will be as closely contested as the Ashes was. Like the Ashes was so superb. England had three outstanding bowlers and one great spinner in Lyon. And England had Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson. And both had the bowling attack to excel. And both had equally good batting sides. So I feel India versus England in England with this approach will be a fascinating series. And I won't put it beyond India to win it, because they have the bowling to actually win anywhere in the world.
Right. I think that would be really a great series to look forward to. Coming back to the baseball concept, Sudarshan, is this something which we have seen only in the test arena, or is it also something which works or which has been talked about in the context of ODIs as well? Because even in one-day internationals, you do have teams playing sort of in a more sedate fashion compared to the T20s, which everybody has become very familiar with.
Actually, England were pioneers even in this, especially in white ball cricket, because they started playing white ball cricket very differently after their bad performance in the 2015 edition of the World Cup. Andrew Strauss as director, and then Trevor Bayliss as coach. Trevor Bayliss has two IPL titles with KKR in 2012 and 14. And Owen Morgan was the captain. So Morgan actually gave them the license to attack. The likes of Jason Roy, Alex Hales and all came in. And then Adil Rashid, the leggy, he emerged as a very good attacking spinner. And limited overs, generally, there is a tendency to use spinners as run blockers. But Adil Rashid was developed as an attacking spinner. And Root scored a lot of runs in the middle overs. So I think England first changed the way ODIs were played in 2015, from 2015 onwards. And that sort of culminated in their triumph in 2019. I mean, it was very fortuitous, the circumstances on boundary, winning on boundary count, but we could see how they wanted to play their cricket. And it sort of extended to the T20 World Cup in 2022 under Josh Butler, where they won the title. Until this World Cup started, they were actually the reigning champions in both white ball, both T20s and ODIs. And they won those things playing a different brand of cricket in the sense that they would attack from ball one. So it actually came later to test, is what I would say. England actually carried out this experiment pretty early in white ball.
Right. But that's an interesting perspective. You know, I haven't really been familiar with it. The fact that it started with their success in white ball cricket, which they then translated into the test arena as well. Now, I was just wondering, Sudarshan, has this kind of an experiment, these kind of innovative initiatives really inject a sort of a new excitement into a sport which people have been, you know, following for a long time? So, have there been other similar experiments attempted by any other team like this before this whole baseball thing came into existence?
McCallum at New Zealand can be one, though there was not such hype about it then. West Indies have always played the old West Indies always played their cricket in a very attacking and jovial fashion. And something that binds McCallum's New Zealand, Stokes's England and the old West Indies was, I think their aggression was all in the ideas that they brought to the game. It was never about how they were as individuals. Now, you wouldn't see a bad word said, you wouldn't see any run-ins with the opponent's players, but you could see that the aggression was in the cricketing skills. And even this series has been played with in such great spirit. Australia prided itself on playing attacking cricket, hard-nosed cricket, but they did overstep the mark a lot of times. They got into personal duels and other things, which is a welcome change. Now with the Australian team under Pat Cummins, they play very aggressively, but at the same time, they keep their emotions in check. So these are the only examples that I can see. McCallum, the old McCallum and New Zealand, and maybe the old West Indies.
Right. I mean, it's interesting, you know, to see this kind of a brand of cricket extending across continents and over time as well. I was also thinking what you would, you know, make of the World Cup, where New Zealand, you know, Mark Greatbatch started this whole aggressive play in the early overs. I think there was a lot of talk about that. Was also an innovative moment, I think, in terms of, you know, ultra aggression to change the terms of engagement, so to speak.
Yeah, McCallum actually did a lot of this even at the T20 level with KKR. Like a lot of innovations, like Venkatesh Iyer emerging as a good all-rounder. So this trust in youth getting players to do what they really believe in and having full faith in their skills. I think he has actually stayed true to this ethos wherever he has been.
Right. One last question, Sudarshan, before we wrap up. Now that England has finally sort of met its match with regard to baseball, as it were, when they've lost the series for the first time playing in this brand of cricket. So do you sense any change or change in thinking or mood in the English camp or in the English commentariat, so to speak, about continuing with this kind of cricket, or do you think they are sort of thinking of adapting it or nuancing it a little bit more, or making some kind of changes to their approach, maybe a little bit more guarded and not go for it every time? Is there any kind of a change in approach that you're sensing?
I feel they do still believe in it. Stokes was very emphatic in his defense after the Ranji test when he said, we still want to play this way. We want to play with smiles on our faces. And this is how the boys want to... I mean, we believe in this and this is how we're going to continue to play. Of course, there are some people who are asking them to be a bit more prudent, but I don't think they have both England's press as well as the English cricket team have lost faith in their methods. And I don't think they should be very downbeat too, because the scoreline may look 3-1 now, but out of the 16 days of cricket that we have seen in the series, every match went into the fourth day. England has been in with a chance for a majority of it. Like, they were equal to India on the majority of the days. It's not like they have been totally embarrassed. The 3-1 might look very bad and 4-1 may look like a total washout, but they have not been totally embarrassed. And another 50 runs in Ranchi, we may even be looking at 2-2, because chasing in excess of 200 is pretty tough in Test cricket. That's how India lost the first match also in Hyderabad. So, but that is not to say that there are no areas of concern, like Stokes' batting, Bairstow's batting returns, Crawley not converting his starts into big scores. These are all issues that are still there. But I feel that these are issues that affect every cricket team. Like, even in India, we have had out-of-form players spring back to form and good in-form players not scoring and stuff like that. So they're not necessarily related to baseball. Yes, they can fine-tune a few things, maybe be a bit more prudent. But overall, I feel that they still believe in their methods and they are set to continue this.
Right. I mean, that's definitely great to hear that they are committed to this philosophy and they still have their self-belief in terms of continuing with this, because there's no doubt that the baseball brand of cricket is definitely very entertaining. People keep, at some point, people are talking about Test cricket not being, able to match up to T20 and so on. They say that about ODIs too these days. But I think with this kind of cricket, where they've put, I think England holds the record for the highest number of runs in one day, I suppose, in a Test match. 500 plus they scored, right? I mean, when was the last time? I mean, how frequently do we see 500 runs scored in a day in a Test match?
Yeah, that was probably the only method work, because Pakistan has a history of laying out ultra-flat pitches where you get absolutely nothing for the bowlers. And the only way England could win was scoring a mountain of runs at an extremely high rate. And that's what they did.
Right. And there was actually, in this case, a logic to why this was the best course to adopt. As you said, I mean, you need to build a mountain of runs quickly so that you have more number of days to sort of bowl the opposition out twice. So I think all in all, it is a very entertaining and an exciting brand of cricket, not just for the spectators, but I think, as you said, for the players too, because it puts a smile on their faces. You know that you're going to go out and enjoy yourself, and it's not just going to be a torturous way of trying to defend. You're also going to have fun. I think that sort of turns on a different switch in your mind as a player as well, You're on the front foot, and you it will, of course, put a smile on your face when you go and try it, and things come up. So I think it's all something we can look forward to in the Dharamshala Test match, and it'll be a great contest if the previous matches, as you rightly said, are anything to go by, where the contests have been far more even than the Test scoreline might indicate. Thank you so much, Sudarshan, for coming on board for this episode and sharing your insights on this brand of cricket, baseball. We look forward to the final Test match, and hopefully it will be as exciting as the series has been. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sampath. It was a pleasure.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.